Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. We also have co-hosts Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Pichet. We will share with you the wisdom of the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We offer tools and support 5 days a week. We will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Brachma. Michael is the author of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information about the forgiveness process, please visit www.whyagain.org. And now, welcome to the show, Mind Shifters Radio.
So this is Dr. Hayes. We're trying this again for the umpteenth time. Apparently there are some technical difficulties. Hopefully I can be heard. I was just restarting my intro about how you can find out about this work at whyagain.org. Go to that page and click on the Start Here link, and if what you find there brings comments or questions, give us a call at 563-999-3581 and press 1. I will move right into our Course in Miracles workbook lesson today. Today is lesson 307. It simply reads, conflicting wishes cannot be the Creator's will. Creator, your will is mine and only that. There is no other will for me to have. So let me not try to make another will, for it is senseless and will cause me pain. The Creator's will alone can bring me happiness, and only that exists. If I would have only what only the Creator could give, I must accept the Creator's will for me and enter into peace where conflict itself is impossible. Your offspring are one with you in being and in will, and nothing contradicts the holy truth that we remain as you created us. And with this prayer, we enter silently into a state where conflict cannot enter because we join our holy will with the Creator's will in recognition that we are the same. Way of Mastery often says, the Creator does not create unlike itself. Pam Grout, in her Lesson 307 from the Course in Miracles Experiment book, is titled Only One Channel. She quotes Franz Kafka as saying, be quiet, still, and solitary. The world will freely offer itself to you to be unmasked. It has no choice. It will roll in ecstasy at your feet. Pam writes, when I was growing up, television programming ended at midnight. The national anthem was dutifully played and a black and white test pattern popped up until programming resumed the next morning. Today, there is nary a minute when the airwaves aren't broadcasting. It never stops. It never ends. The same can be said about our source. There's never a lapse. The divine buzz never ceases transmitting guidance, blessings, signs and miracles. I, on the other hand, frequently tune into a different channel. Let's call it the grievance channel, the channel where something is not quite right. That's why in Lesson 307 and over throughout this course, I am reminded there's really only one channel. And if I'm seeing something besides beauty, light, and never-ending joy, I'm running a self-created test pattern of grievances. The grievances obscuring the divine buzz are subtle, and they're so subtle I don't always recognize that I'm running them. That's why every morning I solicit help. I turn my day over to the Holy S and my intention for an extraordinarily epic day. So that's lesson 307 from the Course in Miracles experiment and the workbook lesson 307, conflicting wishes cannot be my will. And we have, as usual, about 50 minutes left to have commentary and questions. I had a request from Susan. Are you there, Susan?
Hey. I am. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Good.
Are you also?
And Ellen's going to come on too.
Oh, open mic, Ellen.
Hi, Dr. Tim. Hi, Susan.
Welcome.
Hi. Thank you. Well,
right.
Ellen did a worksheet, and we got into the patter part, and I realized it was really in need of the wizardry of Dr. Tim, and I'd just love to get us there somehow again, and so we can take it from there.
All right. Well, how would you like to proceed?
Ellen, well, do you want to read? Can you read the answers, or do you want to talk? Or
Yeah, actually, I'm not even in front of my computer right now, but I can just explain a little bit what the issue is. It's another piece of unresolved stuff for me that is coming up as a result of my cat going missing, and it's a major piece that I recognize that I've never really dealt with, and it has to do with my relationship with my father. Who? Yeah, I wasn't getting emotional when I was doing the worksheet before, and now it's coming up. And it has to do with what I wrote as my reality. I wasn't conscious of this when I was a child, okay, of what I now understand about our relationship. But what I understand now is that he was using me to fulfill his emotional needs because you know, his relationship to my mother had just gone down the tubes. And so my reality was that, but back then, all I knew was that, you know, like, I didn't understand any of that. So for me, I guess the challenge of this worksheet is, do I look at this now from the perspective as an adult, now that I have this understanding, or do I look at it from the perspective of the child that I was when it was going on?
Well, if that's an open question to me, the answer would be that I would do both, one at a time.
Okay. Maybe it would be expedient to read the worksheet because we got deep into it, and your goal was very well delineated, I thought. So
okay.
Would that make sense, Dr. Tim, to just read the worksheet? Okay. Ellen said she had no feelings, and I said, okay, then let's back our way in. My light is blocked by the thoughts I hold about my father. My reality comes from my own mind and is my responsibility. I ask that love be restored to my mind. To collapse my reality, I locate and cancel my need for my father to have fulfilled his own emotional needs. She had put it in the negative first, but we switched it around so that I wish that my father had been able to fulfill his own emotional needs. And I hope that's okay. It was hard because it's all in the past, and he's gone now. There's no negotiating this. So number three, I ask that my true being love be restored to my awareness. I'm willing to have my reality and its effects change. I want to be shown the truth. A, in the pattern, I cancel my need to be right, that my father was using me. And there are lots of things that Ellen perceives as her truth, and I listed them on the worksheet. I had the worksheet in front of me, Dr. Tim, and she did not, so because we were on a Zoom. My parents had me in the middle of a tug of war between them. If they fought, I was in the middle of the fight, and I was absorbing a great amount of negativity. I learned not to trust either one of them.
Well, I didn't know which one to trust. I didn't know which one to trust.
Okay.
They kept telling me not to look at the other one.
Okay. But that your father was the more available emotionally. You felt safer with your mother, but your father was available emotionally. And you were your dad's favorite. This is all part of the story.
Mm-hmm.
And then you felt responsible for your dad's happiness. And so then we just took it from there. I cancel my need for anyone or anything to change, including me. I put my conscious logical mind on the shelf for now. I cancel my specific goal for this worksheet. I ask to be shown. I place myself in that open, allowing state, and this is where it just went blunderbuss. There's so much material here. And Ellen, so you take it from here. How about where your dad is crawling in the room, for instance?
Yeah. Well, the first image that came to me was opening my eyes in the middle of the night and seeing my father on his hands and knees crawling into my room. And he often would come in and sleep with me, and there was never any, you know, sexual abuse, but he would often come in and sleep with me. And it wasn't until, just now that I realized that, I don't think normally I would even see him coming in. But that one night, I opened my eyes and he was crawling into my bedroom, and I knew he was going to come into bed with me. And there was like some fear around that. And I don't know if it was just seeing him like that, or I don't even remember honestly how I felt. I really honestly don't remember how I felt about him sleeping with me. I don't remember if I liked it or I didn't like it.
You mentioned once during the talking that you were afraid, but you liked feeling special.
Well, no, I don't think I was afraid that I was afraid of him because he could be so cruel. I mean, he was the one that would punish us. And he could say some very, very cruel things. And at the same time, I was like his special one. So I didn't really have anyone other than him that I felt like maybe had my back in the family, but then I wasn't really sure that he did have my back. It was a very complicated relationship. I didn't really know where I stood with him.
Okay, so may I ask some clarifying questions?
Sure.
So what was the original impetus for picking up a worksheet, Ellen? What's going on in your life today?
It's the cat and how the situation with the cat is almost exactly the same situation I've had in past love relationships, in that I ended up you know, I'd be in a relationship with someone, then I find out that there was another girlfriend prior to me who then ended up with the person instead of myself. And I didn't understand any of what was going on there until I found out when I was in therapy about 10 years ago that what had gone on with my father was considered emotional sexual abuse, and that it sets up a situation where, in this case, me being a girl, the daughter ends up in relationships that where she ends up being the other woman as opposed to the wife.
So let me just ask again, what was going on with your cat that made you pick up a worksheet today?
Because what's going on with the cat is almost exactly the same. Like I see how it relates to that whole dynamic.
Okay, but just give me a description. What was going on with the cat today that prompted the worksheet now? So the cat has been missing for a while?
Yes. Well, I believe that he is with a woman who owned him prior to myself.
Okay. And so what was related to the cat, what would your goal for the worksheet be?
Related to the cat?
Yes.
That she let him be free to choose where he wants to live.
Okay, so this is not a worksheet on the cat. This is a worksheet on the woman, the other woman. Now, I'm just giving you that as clarification, because when we set a goal in the worksheet, that is the subject of the worksheet. And so when I choose a subject for the worksheet, I want to be clear so that the goal lines up with the subject and lines up with the emotion. So you could set a worksheet around the cat, which would be for the cat to choose you. But if it's a goal for the woman to do something, then the worksheet's on the woman.
It is. It's on her because he did choose me. That was the thing. And it's the same same thing that happened in these past love relationships, in that the reason that I ended up being not the one that was chosen was because of the other woman's attempts at committing suicide. So it was like not giving them a choice to be who they wanted to be with who they really wanted to be with. Which is, I feel like the same thing that it's with the cat.
let me just help you clarify this. When you're talking about a cat, mm-hmm. and the cat doesn't have the ability to unlock a door and drive a car and get back to you, it's about the person who's keeping the cat from you. But when you're talking about when you're talking about a lover, an adult, it's not about another person keeping that person from you. It's about the lover.
Right.
It's not about how your mother kept your father from you. It's not about the woman who threatened suicide. And in her threatening suicide, she's doing nothing to make somebody choose her over you. That's not how that dynamic works. He's free to choose you, even if she says, if you choose her, I'll commit suicide. That's not making him choose her over you.
Okay.
And if you're not clear about that, then you're going to go on a wild goose chase about this second and third level factors influencing someone rather than looking directly at the cause. What's happening in a relationship where somebody starts having a relationship with you and then chooses to go back to their ex-lover is they choose to go back to their ex-lover.
Right. And that's why in those situations, as soon as I found out, I just walked away. And that was that. until I found out that, oh, wow, this is like a pattern that got formed with my father. Because in that, my relationship with him, even though it wasn't like that type of love relationship, it still got set up where I really was kind of like the mistress in the situation, and the other woman, you could say.
So then when you become aware of that, and it's wide awake now because of however it came into your awareness, prior therapy and insight from the situation with the cat. Now, if you want to go do the worksheet on your father, it's the goal that you chose was, I want my father to fulfill his own emotional needs, which is a valid goal. And when you think about that, and you know, in the worksheet I have, the 7-step worksheet, in 1B, the object of your attention is your father, and what happens would be he pulled me into his relationship to satisfy his emotional needs. And then we would ask you to back up and say, when you have the thought, my father pulled me into his relationship to satisfy his emotional needs, what emotion are you aware of when you think about that having been a powerful dynamic in your life?
Well, I want to say anger, but I know that that's actually not considered an emotion, but that's the first thing that comes to me.
Well, that's fine. So it's anger. So in this worksheet on the 7-step one, I would just put, here's anger is in 1B, and in 1C it is father. And the summary is he pulled me into his relationship, pulled me in to satisfy his needs. And then, and you can put emotional if you need to put that in there for clarification. And then, how strong would you say the anger is on a scale of 0 to 10?
Well, so this is the hard part because I'm not, my upsetness in right today is not even about that. It's, but I see that it's related to that. this is where I'm struggling.
Well, so just, yeah, okay, so you're struggling. So that's a level of intensity that you're struggling with. How strong is your struggle?
Oh, I would say it's probably a 9.
All right.
I mean,
okay.
My stomach is
nuts. All right. So then the thought is that he, what's the thought you use to generate your anger? He had no right to use me that way?
Yeah. And there's the other piece in that he was the one that really prevented my mother and I from ever bonding, because I found out that the reason that we never did bond was because he told her not to pick me up and tend to me when I cried.
Okay, so there's a really good Hydra worksheet. So you'd pull out another blank worksheet and you'd say, you know, I, Ellen, who am love, have anger. And what happened? My father told my mother not to pick me up. My father prevented my mother from connecting with me. And then it would be the same kind of thing. It's anger, and it's a slightly different worksheet, but it's significantly different enough to create another worksheet and put that the same thing. Instead of what happened, he pulled me in to satisfy his needs, it would be he prevented my mother from bonding with me.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can have the same thought that generates the anger. He has no right to separate me from my mother. It's a slightly different thought. And then, what's your punishment thought for your father when you think he had no right to use me that way?
Gosh, I can't Nothing's coming.
Okay, well, just think about it for a minute. He abused you to satisfy his own needs, and...
Oh, gosh.
Keep going.
I can't. It's hard for me to think of him in that way.
Right. So, what are the tears about? Just keep breathing. Stay with the tears.
It's... I can't. There's something that just won't allow me to see him as an abuser.
Okay. Okay. And you don't have to see him as an abuser to understand that what he did was not good.
Right. Right. Because I don't know if he even knew what he was, the impact that any of that would have on me.
So if you step past the labels and you're not condemning anybody, but you think about how he pulled you in to satisfy his own needs, and you have the thought, he had no right to use me that way, what's the punishment thought? I want to yell at him. I want to tell him he was wrong. I want to punch him in the face. I want to run away and never talk to him again. It doesn't matter if he's in the body now or not. We're just saying, what's the thought that comes up as a punishment thought when you are awake to the sensation, to the thought that he had no right to use me that way?
I guess I just
it could
him
be
to
as
know.
Good. Just want him to know
that he's the pain that.
Perfect. All right. I want him to know how much he hurt me.
Yes.
All right. I want him to know. So you can just put, I want him to know how much he hurt me, how much pain he caused me. And what's a punishment thought for yourself that comes to mind when you realize what's going on in the dynamic of this worksheet?
Well, and I'm just stuck in this pattern of never getting the love that I desire.
Okay. So you could say it a number of different ways. What I'm going to say now isn't the only way, but you could say my punishment thought for myself is to endlessly seek approval from people who won't give it. Right. Stuck in that pattern of seeking approval. Of
I didn't
getting
feel
love
like it
from
was,
people who won't give it.
Yeah, getting it's getting the love. Like, yeah,
okay.
I felt like I was prevented from my mother's love. Prevented from
so
having
just
my
take,
mother's love.
Well, take a breath and just lock that in. What we've got is I own home love and feeling anger. What happened? My father pulled me in to satisfy his emotional needs. My thought is he had no right to use me that way. My punishment thought is I want him to know how badly he hurt me. And my punishment thought for myself is I stay stuck in a pattern of trying to get love from people who won't give it to me. Right? And then I'm going to choose to love truth, the capital T truth, what actually is. I'm going to be willing to face and process out all of the dis-ease producing energies for and from all of my relations and generations. And I'm going to willingly go through the physical, mental, and emotional symptoms of healing. And I'm going to choose my goal. And what you said from your last one, my goal is for my father to fulfill his own emotional needs, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, I'm just writing that down in this worksheet so I can keep track of it. And then we have it on the worksheet, it says, I release and surrender myself, Ellen, all of my emotions of anger, my dad, my story that he pulled me in to satisfy his needs, my thought that he had no right to use me in that way, my punishment thought for him, my punishment thought for myself. I surrender all of that to love. And I remember with a nice deep cleansing breath and a slow exhale that if I'm in pain, my thinking is in error. And in this moment, if they're the one with the problem, why am I the one with the pain? So I'm going to do a quick practice release here, and I'm going to say I cancel my need to be right about my dad and all of this interaction. I cancel my need to make up another story out of what happened and the memories I have of it in my mind to hallucinate the proof that my fear and my hostility-based story, my reality about this situation is true. I'm going to cancel my need to do that. And then I'm going to choose love. I'm going to choose my essence. I'm going to choose to be aware that my true nature is love. And when I do that, it's going to stir the loving energy of, in everyone involved. And so I'm going to take a moment or two, or as long as you need, to shift the focus of my thoughts over to one of the most loving, peaceful, strong, happy, safe, connected memories I have. And breathe into that until your energy and your heart space gets shifted to that loving energy, away from this anger and all of the upset in the worksheet. And just do that for however long it takes, and let me know when you've achieved a shift by focusing on solid, safe, happy, connected, competent memories that you have of your own life. And keep your breath moving, and let me know when you've had a shift in your energy.
Okay, I'm going to... I have this cat that's crying. I have to take care of him for a moment here. Okay, go ahead, please. Okay, yeah, I'm struggling. I can think of loving moments. I'm struggling to find any safe moments, but let me just.
Well, there have been many in your life. Let yourself go there, whether it's being with friends like Susan who support you or being out in nature for a walk. You've had some conversations here where you've talked about how wonderful it is for you to be out in nature and be in the present mm-hmm. moment. And just breathe into one of those memories until your energy shifts in your heart space.
Okay.
Got it?
Okay. Yeah, I think so.
All right. The next step in the worksheet says, I have to recognize that whenever I'm upset, the pictures my mind shows me are coming from corrupt data, and they're driven by any unfulfilled goals I might be holding. In this case, my goal for my father to fulfill his own emotional needs. The pictures that show up in my mind are a limited picture constructed of tiny bits of data when there's at least 10,000 brain cells firing. And so by canceling the goal I'm holding, it helps the replicate part of my mind collapse its picture and gives me some direct contact with whatever's been denied and dissociated in my mind, in my brain. And that part of my mind and brain, when it dissociates stuff, it projects and blames others for its content. So while I hold my energy of love, conscious, active, and present, I now choose to collapse my mind's lies and willingly cancel my goal for my father to fulfill his own emotional needs. And then just breathe. And then I want to invite some outside source, God, light, love, Ruka Dakucha, Jesus, Holy Mary, whatever. So who would you like to invite to help you shift this energy?
Holy Spirit.
Who or what? Holy Spirit. I invite Holy Spirit to incline me toward healing, to restore me to the awareness of my newborn essence as love, to heal my denial, and heal my capacity to generate the emotion of anger, which is up for me in this worksheet, and to help me open a direct conscious relationship with and gently remove the denied, dissociated, and projected parts of my carbon-based memory. And just be willing to do that, and then take a breath or two, and then silently inside your own mind, as I talk out loud, just repeat inside silently in your own mind what I'm going to say. And keep your breath moving and do a little meditation here. I cancel my need to be right. I cancel my need for anyone or anything to change, including myself. I specifically cancel my goal in this worksheet. I put my conscious, logical mind on the shelf for now, and I ask to be shown the hidden parts of my own mind. And then I just want to breathe and soften and just be awake and aware for whatever pops into my head. Anything that shows up is part of what I need to see to begin to heal here and move forward. And I just want to notice if I get an image of the past, how old I was, where I was, who else was there, and what's happening. As I hold this goal that I've just canceled for my father to fulfill his own emotional needs, and I hold myself in this awareness of my true nature as love and ask to be shown the hidden part of my own mind that's actually creating my anger. And just breathe and soften and cancel my need to be right, cancel my need for anyone or anything to change, including myself, specifically cancel my goal in this worksheet, put my conscious logical mind on the shelf for right now, and ask to be shown the hidden part of my own mind that's actually spinning and creating this anger. And just breathe and soften until you feel something shift or fade, or until you get an insight, or until you realize that it's just going to spin and leave you with no specific insight. And stay with it as long as you need until one of those three things happens. If it goes to an earlier time, let yourself remember how old you were, where you were, who else is there, and what's happening. And just breathe into it as you notice as many details of it as you can. And then constantly, gently remind yourself to cancel your need to be right and cancel your need for anyone or anything to change, including yourself. And let me know when you get a shift or an insight, or you realize that it's just going to spin and go nowhere.
Well, what's been coming in for me as you've been talking is some insights that I've been having about how I took the absence of my mother, you know, being there for me, like when I cried. I took that to mean that I wasn't loved, and I know that it has nothing to do with that. But that's how I saw it, or that was my perception.
Okay. And so breathe, soften into that energy that's coming up, that sadness, it sounds like. And was there a specific memory that comes up with that thought that you downloaded this conclusion that you weren't loved? When your mother didn't pick you up or come to you when you wanted her to?
Well, there was just so much yelling, and there was so much noise. I mean, I see that my mother really couldn't even appreciate me because she was so, first of all, she had three other kids and wasn't getting the support of my father. You know, her marriage was falling apart and there was just so much going on for her emotionally that...
Okay, so now it sounds like you're getting some insight that is directly related to a conclusion you downloaded that you were not lovable. And the insight helps you understand from the adult perspective that that's a completely erroneous conclusion to draw. Right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So you might want to make some notes about that, that one of your insights is...
Yeah, I mean, this is not a new insight.
Right, but it's coming up now when you do this worksheet. And so when it comes up like this, it may contain some items, some tweaks, some little memory nudges that take it another step further. So you just make a note about that. Then you notice if there were any other thoughts. Like sometimes when I do these worksheets, I'll have a whole, like a Rolodex spinning, the old Rolodex. I'll have like dominoes falling, one memory after another. So I just want to make note if that was the kind of thing that happened for me, or if I just flashed on one particular incident and got stuck there. It's fine either way. I just want to make some notes about it. And then I want to take a breath and scan my body right now. I want you to do this. And as you scan your body, notice what's the strongest emotion or physical sensation that you're aware of in this moment?
Well, what's been going on with me physically is a lot of, I don't want to call it palpitations, or in like my solar plexus area, shaking in that area.
Okay. That would make a note of that.
Okay.
And with that and that awareness, what emotion are you aware of right now?
Oh, it's like grief.
Okay. And then make a note of that. So you've shifted from anger to grief, which is excellent just because it's energy moving and you're following it and you're willing to make a note about it. Then, about the situation in 1A, the situation where my father pulled me in to satisfy his needs, and my thought is he had no right to use me that way. What you just said and what you can write in 6C or 6B is, I see how I falsely believed that my mother's choices or interactions with me and my dad meant I was not lovable. And that's what you could write in 6B.
Okay.
Not that it's a new insight to this worksheet, but it came up again, and so it's a good thing to acknowledge.
Okay.
So that's, you know, a connected thought related to this process. Now, a principle of the universe is that by giving, I first get the original. And so I'm going to try and be grateful to my father for this opportunity to heal. I'm going to choose to love the capital T truth of what actually is. I'm going to choose to value the capital T truth. I'm going to choose to value perfect love, which is the essence of creation, et cetera. And I'm going to use this as an opportunity to structure a truly loving goal towards, in this case, it's your dad, and the object of this worksheet. And what I would recommend that you choose as one of your goals, you might have several on a worksheet like this, is that you choose to apply the goal you have to him in your life. Today, Dad, I commit to working to to fulfill my own emotional needs and doing worksheets as necessary to move me toward that goal.
Yeah, that's good.
I commit to breaking this pattern of looking to people outside me who will not love me or are incapable of loving me to fill my emotional needs. I commit to filling my own emotional needs with every tool I can find and the love and support of friends and community. And that might take the form of, I'm going to do two more worksheets. I'm going to do the Hydra worksheet on mom and how, or dad, how he dad prevented mom from connecting with me. And I can, you know, I find it valuable to choose a specific task that's time limited so I can know when it's done. Two worksheets, mind shifter journaling session or whatever, and include that in the goal that I write in number 7.
Okay.
Because talk about a wonderful learning piece here. Wow, I just woke up and realized I was taught by my father to look outside of me for my emotional support and needs, and I learned it masterfully. And I've been on that journey trying to get people outside of me to make me feel loved, and that's what's got me trapped. Not what my dad did when I was younger. That was a problem. That was inappropriate. That was wounded material from a wounded person. But what's happening in my life today is I watched him and studied him, and now I'm doing the same thing. So I'm going to step into my own authority, authenticity, agency, power, and I'm going to learn to source my own emotional needs and break the cycle of seeking approval from people outside of me who are unwilling or unable to give me that approval. And something like that would be what I would put in number 7 with a specific number of worksheets or mind shift or journaling session or whatever.
Yeah, that sounds perfect because that was the other thing that was kind of coming in for me was that here I was craving the love of people that just weren't capable of showing it to me. I mean, I'm not saying that they didn't love me because I believe that they did, but they weren't capable of showing it to me. That set me up to be in a very
unproductive pattern.
Yeah.
Right? And an unwinnable situation. So here to wrap up this worksheet, I would do the little release where it says, I commit to love, capital L love, staying connected to my source, to living that human life. And to help achieve this, I'm going to do a mass canceling of all the times I've wanted anybody else to fulfill their own emotional needs. And just
wait a minute.
Breathe into that
almost sounds like the opposite, because wasn't I committing to fulfilling my own emotional needs, and now I'm canceling?
You're canceling the need for other people to fulfill their own emotional needs. You're detaching your mental, emotional energy from trying to get people to change how they're living their lives.
Okay.
The goal he had in number 3 was for my father to fulfill his own emotional needs. So here, I'm going to do a mass canceling of all the times I've wanted that goal from somebody, dad or anybody else in my life.
Yeah, and that's what's going on now with the cat. That's the tie-in. I'm projecting that onto this woman, that she's, instead of, you know, that she's looking to the cat to fulfill her emotional needs as opposed to fulfilling
right.
her own. Mm-hmm.
Right. And so then when you breathe into that and scan your body and notice how you feel, what would you say your upset level is right now?
It's definitely lower. I mean, it's not gone, but I'd say maybe it's like around a 6 as opposed to a 9.
Okay, so it went from a 9 down to a 6. And is it more of the anger or is it more of the sadness?
I'd say the sadness.
Okay, and just make a note for that. And that might be your next worksheet is on the sadness.
Okay.
And then you just get to decide for yourself if you felt that was a successful worksheet process.
Definitely, because it definitely did give me that new insight that I wasn't seeing about how I learned, you know, from my father how to look to others to have my emotional needs met.
Okie doke.
And, I guess the thing for me now is to get a better understanding of how I can do that for myself.
And I strongly encourage everybody when we have this kind of thing to understand that the way to freedom is to dismantle any negative judgments I have against myself for doing the same or similar thing that I thought I was upset with somebody else for. So, hey, you came by it naturally. You learned it from the pattern with your dad. And you've established this pattern of seeking your own acceptance and approval from people outside of you. Okay. Time to just correct any part of that pattern I can when it arises and dismantle any negative judgment against myself when that happens. And breathe and soften and return my awareness to that loving appreciation of myself and others and move on. You want to break the pattern at every level. How do you think your dad felt when he woke up and realized he was using his daughter to satisfy his emotional needs rather than being a competent, independent adult in that ring? He probably felt horrible, probably beat himself up miserably. So you just want to break every level of that pattern as you witness it happening within yourself.
Yeah, and I see how my parents' inability, because of everything that was going on with them, their inability to really appreciate me, I took that on myself that I couldn't appreciate me.
Another good insight.
Worthy of that appreciation. So that's where I think I need to start with recognizing how I've done that to myself. You know, not been able to see how lovable I really am and how much value I really have.
Wonderful. We've got a minute or two left. Is it all right to ask Susan for her input?
Certainly.
Good going, both of you. Question, Dr. Tim. I was using the 5-step wake-up sheet with your detailed processing in it. What you were using was the 7-step adding the pattern in there, right?
Yes. And yeah, I just did that simply because it's what I have here available.
Right.
And so, you know, if I have it available in front of me, then it frees me up to just read off of the page and then try and stay more connected to the person I'm working with if I'm trying to do it on the fly. And I found myself struggling to remember, okay, what version is Susan reading from? And I decided very quickly, since it was sitting right in front of me, to just go with the flow and work on the current or the most current version I have of the seven-step reality management worksheet.
Right. Okay, yeah, because there were a couple of things in there that I would like to make sure are in here, and I'm not sure now which ones they were, but I was very glad to have a little bit of a different angle. So yours was the seventh step, and you added your pattern in there. Is that what you just told me?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
And that's what I
do most often
in our support groups.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, that's very good, because Ellen, thank you so much for doing that work. And where you arrived was really, I didn't anticipate that. And that was good. Dr. Tim, you did it. At the end of our Zoom session, I said, Ellen, we need Dr. Tim, quick. Will you call the show? So you got that text at the last gasp of our Zoom meeting before we called into you. Thanks for letting us do it, Dr. Tim.
Yes,
well, my pleasure. My honor. Thank you, Ellen, for being willing to share. And thank you both for your continued listening and contributions.
Welcome.
Thank you so much.
You're very, very welcome and deserving. I will mute you both so we can make the transition. And I will remind us all that we come from love. We're made of this stuff we call love. We actually are love, and everything else is false. Welcome, Jeannie Rice.
Thank you, Dr. Tim. Good conversation. Excellent worksheet.
It ended up being a whole worksheet process. So.
And that's awesome. That should be one of the special shows, I think.
All right. Well, have a lovely show.
Thank you. So welcome, everybody, to the second hour of Mindshifters Radio. Today is Wednesday, November the 3rd, 2021, and our calling number is 563-999-3581, and press 1, and that puts you into queue to talk to us. We'd love to hear your comments and questions because that makes this your show. We'll give Michael just a moment to get dialed in, and I'll direct you to our website, which is whyagain.org. And click on either the start here or the bullseye in the middle of the page. Both of those take you to the same place. And that is where you can find all the tools to get started, or if you're even familiar with the work, to help you clarify. There's PowerPoint presentations. There's all the worksheets, lots and lots of information. So put the tools to work in your life. And then we are here 5 days a week to support you with any questions that you may have. So let me see. So while we're waiting for him to dial in, that was an excellent worksheet, Ellen, and thank you for that example, and we appreciate your willingness to go through that. And so if you have questions, please call us. I was just checking to see if he was having some technical difficulties or anything. And so what's your questions? What can we support you with? Can we walk you through a worksheet the way that Dr. Tim just did with Ellen? Do you need support getting past stuck points? You know, also on the website, there is a link, and it's for stuck places. And there's some common places where people do get stuck in the worksheet. And so those perhaps will help you to get past it as well. But we're here to walk you through it, and we would love to do that. So somebody press 1. Let us know what's going on for you. Let us know your process, your questions. If you have, if you don't agree with something even that we talk about, let us hear that as well. We always learn from each other, and we support each other, and so we're open to whatever you have to offer us. Let me see if Michael is in yet. No, he must be having some problems on his end. So someone press 1. You know, yesterday we were talking, I had worked with a young lady, and we switched worksheets in the middle of the worksheet. And even my supporting her in doing it, it was a good thing that we actually had, we had split the session. So when she called back, I was able to offer that we were actually working on several things, like a hydra. And we've talked about that before, and how to get very specific on your goal
and then you would get clearer on the result and see what was holding you back. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you, dear heart, and welcome, everybody. I'm here. Are you hearing me, sweetie? I had trouble getting in.
Yep, you're on.
Cool. Well, as you talk about the Hydra, let's establish the reason why Hydra worksheets become so important and how these Hydras develop. And it's a thing we call the file folder effect. And the file folder effect says that when two files fire together in the mind, they link to each other. And when they link to each other, if one file is activated, every linked file also becomes activated. This is a really urgent principle to understand. And I use an example, and you know, I haven't found an effective replacement for this yet for young people, but the way I demonstrate the file folder effect is goes back years, and you know, we're kind of in a new time frame, so it's not quite as applicable as it used to be, but most of our audience will understand it. So if I ask you what the Lone Ranger's horse's name was, what's the horse's name? Now, if I were an audience of 100 people, probably 10 or 15 of those people would shout out, Trigger. 10 or 15 of those people would shout out, Tonto. You know, ask them to give me just an instant, first thing that comes to their mind. And then 10 or 15 or maybe 25 people would shout out, Trigger. The horse's name is Trigger. But what I did with that question was I resonated in each person's mind their file on old Westerns. And, of course, Trigger and Tonto and Silver are all in there. And so it demonstrates how carbon-based memory, how perception works. Whatever's closest to the surface, whatever is amplified to the greatest extent becomes the mind's answer to everything, to anything. So if we link something in the mind to pain, let's say something that happened decades ago, linked to pain, and now here I am rolling along in my life. 3 decades later, everything is just rocking along. I'm in a relationship and things are grand and great. And the person I'm in relationship with puts forward, let's say, you know, it could be anything. I mean, it could be chocolate cookies. You know, geez, you know, I was 4 years old and I stole a chocolate cookie and I got a beating for it. 50 years later, chocolate cookies come in the room. Chocolate cookies are suggested. In some way, shape, or form, chocolate cookies are resonated. And if I haven't broken that link, if I haven't resolved that painful experience from a four-year-old, then that becomes part of the energy that is massaged into, I mean, literally, the unresolved pain of the child of four is massaged into the perceptual construct of carbon-based memory of the mind, and all of a sudden, there's pain for me. And if I'm with this new wonderful person that I've had awesome, wonderful, happy, joyous experiences with, the file folder effect, if I'm not conscious of what's going on in my mind, if I don't know how to go into my mind and remove trauma and pain, that trauma and pain now becomes linked to this person I'm in relationship with decades later. If I'm not conscious, if I don't do anything about that at the moment that it's resonated, then it literally becomes part of what fires in me each time I'm with that person, the file folder effect. Just like, you know, what's the Lone Ranger's horse's name? That person's there. It resonates everything linked to it. If a week later some other traumatic experience is resonated in the presence of that person. And a week later, still another, another, another. You know, it comes to the point when we link all of these painful things up in our minds, and our mind uses that content from the past to form its construct of the moment, and it's connected in with that person, I might get to the point where, although there's nothing I can really point to that's quote-unquote wrong, I might get to the point where I start feeling uncomfortable around this person. It's like, what's wrong with them? And so I might throw that person out of my life, as maybe I've done with many other people over decades and decades. And relationships, if I never work through those issues, if I never allow myself to become conscious of the Hydra, and if you remember, the Hydra was the creature that in Greek mythology, when you cut her head off, several other heads appeared. Well, in the same way, if I start undoing one piece of painful, traumatic energy that's linked to any topic, a relationship, a friend, an enemy, a brother, a sister, a mother, a father, whatever, I can go off the deep end just by the mention of their name, or just by the thought of them, or just by walking by and with the corner of my eye catching a picture of them. That's all it can take. And the horrific trick that the mind plays is that it takes all of that file folder effect data, massages it, and transparently injects it into my brain's image of that person. And if I don't know any better, I can start to associate my pain with that person, and I will tend to grow further and further and further and further apart. So the file folder effect is really key to understand what it is that creates the "why is this happening to me again" experience. You know, if you want a full explanation of this, read the whole book, "Why Is This Happening to Me Again?" And it's the whole story of that. And you can go to our website, and you can download the book free. We can't sell you one because it's out of print, but you can go to Amazon or eBay if you'd like a printed book. You can print it yourself, of course, but you can go to Amazon or eBay, and they've always got used copies available fairly reasonably. But in essence, it's the whole book, "Why Is This Happening to Me Again?" And we're in the chapter on waking from the has-been, and this facing the Hydra effect, facing the file folder effect, it is a total product of the has-been, the topic that we've been reading about the last couple of days, and our subject today. And so rather than dragging the past into the present and thinking that the picture in our mind, that we've got eyes that show us what's happening out there, when nothing could be further from the truth, my offering is that everything that you see with your brain. You don't see with your eyes. You know, people say, "Well, I saw that happen in the world." No, you have never, and I mean this totally, completely, literally, you have never seen anything happen in the world. An event happens. That event resonates brain cells. You do not have a set of windows that you look out called your eyes. It's a lie. I mean, the whole culture believes I see through my eyes. You don't see anything through your eyes. The eye, you know, if we look at it scientifically, the eye is a receiving device for frequencies of light. It is a one-way valve. Information comes in. The information that comes in, if it resonates the file folder effect or the Hydra in us, we can think that this pain that I've experienced, why is this happening to me again, 87 different times with 42 different people, is the fault of this person that I think I'm looking at, and I'm not looking at them. I'm looking at a construct called perception of my mind, a body made up by my mind. You know, thinking that you can see out through your eye is like saying, "Well, I can go to the back of my television set, I can pull the antenna wires off, I can look up through the wires, and I can see, look out through the antenna." It's just ludicrous. It's silly. when you think about it, but the whole world presumes we have eyes and we see. No, we don't. We have an antenna that brings in light frequencies, and according to what those light frequencies resonate, our brain produces a thing called perception. There's a powerful line in the Course in Miracles that says, perception is a world made up by you to take the place of what the Creator gave you in creation. And that's literal. All perception is false. All perception is from the has-been. What's the major feature of the has-been? Everything that's in it is from the past. And all the mind can do with its past is replicate whatever's there. Oh, yeah, depending. You know, we could have a half a dozen different things going on, half a dozen different things resonating, and we get a whole new perception, a whole new construct in our mind. But that construct is a reflection of those six different major key energies that are resonating in us. And the major tool that we're working to have people understand and actually use, it's interesting how many people get excited about it, and when I ask them, how many worksheets have you done around that? Oh, they've got a question, and their answer is, I didn't think of that. That's usually the answer. Oh, I hadn't thought of that. If you're in pain, there is a disintegrative energy that's being transparently pushed into your perceptual constructs. And that painful energy is a reflection of something from the has-been, something from the past. And what we do is we replace the experience that is actually there in front of us, the energetic experience, with a construct of our mind that replicates whatever's in the has-been. And this propensity to live as though what your mind tells you is true has gone on for 1,000 generations in each of our bloodlines. And if you want to heal, you've got to be out of your mind. You've got to know how to get out of your mind. How do you get out of your mind? The master tool for being out of your mind. And at first, when you start to use it, the mind's output will only collapse for maybe a 20th of a second. But if you really pay attention, you'll get a taste of something. And if you really start to use the tools, you'll get to the point where perception from the past becomes a thing of the past. You remember Yeshua said, the dead bury the dead, the blind lead the blind. Those who live in perception are dead. There is no human life active in them because there is no life in the constructs of the mind. All there is a replication of whatever's in there. Life is love moving through a cell, not past perceptions moving through a cell. If we allow something from the past that was based in pain to take over option, then love moving through our cellular structure is inhibited, and we start to move toward death. If physiology is cut off from its proper power supply, which is love, if love is restricted, what restricts the movement of love within the cell? Hostility, fear, rage, guilt, grief, drama, and trauma of all sorts, sizes, and shapes. And if enough of that happens, then we say, oh, this body is aging and it's getting ready to die. Have you ever seen a dead man or a dead woman? Think about it. You have not. Have you ever seen a man or a woman? You've seen bodies. But are those bodies the beings? Take a moment. We've asked the question many times. Go back and remember the moment when you held a newborn child. And virtually every father and every mother just, I don't care what state they're in, but they start to light up when they think about, when they really allow themselves to contemplate and remember the first time they held their newborn. And their descriptor of the newborn is always the same. It is life. It is love moving through a structure. And you'll notice when you tap into your newborn that the newborn is not loving you. The newborn is love. The newborn is not loving you. The newborn is love. What did Yeshua say he came for? Did he say, I come to bring you religious dogma and religious doctrines so that you can form 35,000 sects of Christianity that all tell you that they have the right answer and nobody else does? Is that why I came here? No, he had a very simple, single statement. He said, I come to bring you life. And then take a look at all the instructions he gave about living as love and forgiving or removing what was unlike love. Forgiveness collapses the perceptual mind that reflects the file folder effect, that reflects the Hydra effect. It collapses that. It gives you direct access to the root energetic patterns. And this is not easy to do. This is not a Dr. Feelgood process. You've got to go in there and be with it and feel it. But when you enter the practice of functioning as a human being, as love, and love is moving through yourself, that is, you have human life, and you allow yourself to tap into some old energetic foul folder effect, trauma, then you begin the dissolution of the hydras. You begin the dissolution of the generational patterns. Remember that story about the Jews wandering in the desert? Now, if you think that's a literal story, I invite you to just contemplate for 1 minute. These people are lost in a 35-square-mile area, and we're told they can't get out of there for 40 years. They're lost. Do you think these people were so stupid that they couldn't have gotten out of a 35-square-mile area for 40 years? They just wandered. You think they didn't know which way the sun came from and how to follow it from east to west? You think they didn't know how to get out of that desert? It's silly. But when you understand what they were really talking about, the desert is a code word for the unconscious. People living in perception, living in the file folder effect, living in the Hydra effect, thinking that the construct of their mind was true about somebody outside of them, when the real truth is your perceptual constructs inform you of only one thing. They inform you of the content of your own mind, your own carbon-based memory. They inform you of your own Hydra effect. They inform you of what's in your filing system. So what did they say had to happen for that group of people to get out of the desert? They said the old generation had to die off. Now, that's been told as, well, you know, the old people weren't allowed to go into the promised land. They had to die first. That's just bunk. That's just silliness. The root of the word generation is genari. It means cause. The cause is the foul folder effect. The Hydra energies that reflect as pained perception have to be removed to get into the promised land. And what's the promised land? What does it say had to happen? The old generation. The root of the word generation is genari. It means cause. The old causes in the mind had to be removed. When they were, the diseases disappeared from the body. We got out of the has-been, and we started to function as human beings. Ah, life more abundantly. Love flowing through a cell more continuously. There's work to be done. Because in you, in each and every one of us, is every Hydra, every file that was ever instituted by anybody in our bloodline. If you're the early adopter of this work, then you've chosen to do a significant amount of work, and there is significant work to be done. It doesn't happen without effort. It doesn't happen without work. It is a lifelong process when you start realizing You know, you listen to that quote from the ancient scriptures that says, the sins of the fathers will be passed, yea, unto three and four generations. Now, the word sin is important to understand. It's got nothing to do with the Greek idea we've been fed in this culture about sin. It's simply an archery term. When you fired at the target and you missed the bullseye, the scorekeeper yelled sin. That's all sin is. What did they say? The sins of the fathers will be passed, yea, unto three and four generations of those who hate me. Did anybody tell you that you have every perceptual construct of every person in the last four generations of your bloodline? That is, you have every thought, every feeling, every perceptual quality that your forebears, one, two, three, four generations, engaged in. That's at the root of the perceptual output of your mind. And of course, when you realize, you know, where the fourth generation back get their perceptual constructs, but from the previous four, who got them from the previous four generations, who got them from, who got them from. What do they mean when they said the old generation has to die off? They mean to get out of the desert, to get out of unconscious perceptual constructs. You've got to begin to forgive, and the word forgive doesn't mean let somebody else off the hook for what's going on inside of you. The word forgive means remove. You've got to remove the hostility, the fear, the rage, the guilt, the things that inhibit the flow of life through you so that life can flow in you more abundantly and fulfill the purpose that the man came for. I come to bring you life. I come to bring you the direct experience of yourself as your created essence, love, and to show you how to remove everything that inhibits it. And they turned it into a religion, and it became a doctrine, and it became a dogma, and billions of dollars are made every year, and billions of lives have been destroyed by that hogwash. Because if one in the name of their religion isn't being handled, the tools of Yeshua, they're involved in a religion about Yeshua instead of the religion of Yeshua. And in fact, it wasn't a religion. The man was a physicist. He was a physiologist. He was a geneticist. He was a psychologist. Literally, if you go back into the first century Aramaic language, you will find the very latest. I don't care who the scientists are. You will find everything the scientists are uncovering. Go into the cell biologist laboratory. Go into the nuclear medicine laboratory. Go study them all, and you'll find he knew it 2,000 years ago, and it's in his teaching. And they turned it into a religion. It's about uncovering your essential nature and your relationship with and as love, and removing everything that doesn't belong. It's about how to collapse the perceptual mind when it's filled with hostility and fear, instead of scream and rage and puke on somebody else, how to stop and go, oh, here I am again. My perception has pain in it. I think I'll stop puking on other people, and I think I'll actually step up and become an adult and take responsibility and remove this puke from myself. It takes great learning to do that. And then you're restored to exactly what Yeshua said he came for. Life, love, flowing through a cell. But you can't live in the has-been and have that. So we're talking to the character Richard, idea of the has-been, and looking at the idea that everything in the mind is from the past. And I had yesterday's reading, I'd given an example of giving a set of instructions, and it was a simple instructions. Put your right hand on your right ear. Richard's trying to figure out this thing of how perception works. So I offer him the example of, well, notice there's a whole room full of people and everybody's got their right hand and their right ear. But what if one person had a different past than everybody else in the room and their mothers and fathers told them that their nose was an ear? What if that was the brain cells they had? When I said put your right hand on your right ear, what would somebody do? They'd put their right hand on their nose and think, oh, I've got my hand on my ear. It's kind of a silly example, but it makes the point. Literally, everything that comes from the mind is from the past. And if it's off track with truth, then we're stuck in the desert. We're stuck in that unconscious place. So we're trying to make that point with Richard. And then I offer him the thought, had I spoken my instructions in Chinese, so put your right hand on your right ear, would anyone have moved a hand? Well, only those who spoke Chinese. Otherwise, nothing from the past was triggered into anyone's mind by the words I spoke. Richard, put your right hand on your gizzard. Richard pauses a moment. I can't do that. I don't have one. But notice, though you have no gizzard, you still look through your past, your has-been, your mind, to check and see if there was a reality there that could give meaning to my words. No information, no brain cells. And, you know, when I'm in front of a class, I'll do that. So notice what you did. You went to your chest. You went to your throat. Gizzard. Chickens have a gizzard, but do I have one? Gee, I'm not sure. Searching through the past for meaning. Now, the mind is so instant, it really looks like that's not what's happening. But when you catch the mind at its game, the game changes. No information in brain cells, no past from which to gather a meaning. With no past, there is no reality to project onto my words. And so just watch how your mind operates. And is it really telling you the truth? Whether your mind gives you its meaning in an instant, as when I said put your right hand on your right ear, or whether there's a time delay, as in looking for your gizzard, every meaning from the mind is from the past. Every meaning is an individual reality triggered by my words and projected from inside your mind. The mind's meanings are all from the past. The mind, known as the great deceiver, subtly deceives us into thinking its information is truth. And what is happening now is the present. All thought, and I put the word thought in quotes, is from the past. And one of my favorite sayings about thought is, if most people said what they thought, they'd be speechless. Because people think that cycling information in the mind is thinking. And I'd offer that cycling information in the mind is just that. It's cycling information in the mind. It's got absolutely nothing whatsoever to do with thinking. Thinking, I would offer, is the ability, no matter what's going on in your mind, to bring love, conscious, active, and present to your mind, new information, rather than being stuck in the cycles from the past. Being in the present moment, forgiving, collapsing the mind's perception, and being in the moment so that you can, from being, from love, you can bring new meanings to life and to your mind and recognize that nothing from the past is true about the present. And if you're stuck in the past, thinking it's the present, then you've missed the gift. And the reason they call the present is because whenever you're there, there's a gift. We're here to support. We're here to learn ourselves on deeper and deeper levels every day and to support learning that at every instant when being is awake and present within the mind, in the present, there is the presence of love. Everything else, as Dr. Tim likes to say, is a lie. It's just not true. And we've played this game of hostility and fear and rage and guilt and blame and drama and trauma for so long, it seems like there's really no option. What we're here to do is correct that. And so that's our reading from the has-been. We're on page 139 if you're following along in the book. Again, I haven't read my book in over 20 years. We have the printed version. There's actually a new version that that I wrote or edited and provided for our Swedish copy. And so that's the last time I've read the book, and that's about 20 years ago, or maybe even a little more. And as I'm reading it now again, this is the first time, and I'm going through it day by day, I'm really just myself comprehending the power of what's here and the value of spending time with this material. And to recognize that it's a reflection. It's not original with me, but it is a reflection of what we've decoded from the first century Aramaic teachings of Yeshua. Put it to work in your life. It's monumental what it will do for you. Did I hear your voice, Jeannie?
Maybe it's
hello, Jeannie.
But you disappeared. Totally.
No, you're there. You're there,
but
honey.
I
can
hear
you.
I can barely hear you. It's like you're in an echo.
I could barely hear you either. That's strange. If somebody would send
you
a text and let me know if we're coming across loud and clear. Strange. So, are you there now, sweetie?
Yes, I can hear you good now.
Good. Okay. Well, I'm not sure what that was all about because nothing changed here. But in any event, do we have anybody there in the phone queue with the hand up or anything happening in the chat room?
No, it is all quiet. No hands up, no questions in the chat room. We have 23 minutes, so press 1.
So if you're out there in the in listener land, we invite you to push 1 and initiate a conversation with us. The objective, as Jeannie had said earlier, is dialogue. Monologue's over. It's your turn. What's on your mind? Is this? I mean, I can't imagine if I were in your hometown and said what I've just said, I'm on a platform at your local church or local library or whatever, that if you were in the audience when I came down from it, you wouldn't be walking over saying, well, but Michael, what about? So I'm here for the what about questions. That's what it's all about. So if you were in the audience, what would you be coming over and saying, Michael, I just have a quick question. What would your question be? And or what do you need support with? We're here to support you 100%. And so if you're out there in listener land, we've got, 22 minutes or so for conversation. So there's lots of room to process, to look at a worksheet, to do some work here. So please give us a shout. Push 1. Let's have a conversation. The call-in number, if you're on one of those stations where we can't see you, it's 563-999-3581, 563-999-3581. If you dial that number, you'll be listening to the show. And if you push 1, we'll be having a conversation, and I would love to have a conversation with you. So 563-999-3581. Push 1. Let's have a conversation. So if you're out there, let's talk about it. How can we support you? I just saw that I got an email from Roma. Thank you, Roma. And yes, Hi-O Silver, that was Roy Rogers' horse and Silver. And of course, the, let's see, we get Trigger, Silver, and Tonto was the Indian's name, was a Lone Ranger, the friend who was in India, Kimo Sabe. He called Lone Ranger. All that stuff's in my file on old Westerns, but yeah. But they're the three answers. I mean, for years, they'd be the standard three answers that I would get by resonating somebody's file on old Westerns. So thank you for that note, and Anybody else out there in listener land, let's have a conversation. Today's the day.
Well, we could share the email that we got from a friend of ours who's been doing this work for a long time. And she had said that, so she had said, you know, this has come along, but to share it, that it might help other people. She said, you know, she had, I'll kind of abbreviate some places. So she had gotten a divorce. Her husband had had an affair and ran off with the other woman. And so she, you know, had to do a lot of work around what came up for her on him leaving and him cheating and all of that. Well, then she said she realizes that, you know, everything is energy. And she realized that he couldn't stay in her space with her doing the work, that, you know, her vitality level and energy was so much higher. And so he reverted to, you know, other habits and seeking, you know, outside relationships and things like that. But anyway, he was left, and she said she had to do a lot of work around it. And she recalls Michael talking about the willingness and the cosmic grace of the universe. And so she says she went on with her life after screaming and hollering for a while, knowing that total acceptance of what is would allow her to move out of her pain. She knew resistance created pain and certainly didn't want to hold on to that pain. It became a motivator for her to move on with her life and to let go. She started new things, like she got into theater in Branson and Springfield and doing commercials and different things and acting and you know, was really immersed in that, and that helped her to let go of her need for her spouse to have been faithful and stayed. And then she goes on to say, you know, she survived the divorce and she grew into a stronger person and through the years learned more about moving out of codependence into interdependence and learned more about the importance of taking care of her own needs. She had multiple health issues and was told that she had ALS. She moved to Arkansas to be closer to her daughter after selling her house. She lived in an apartment nearby while her handicap house was being built. She learned after much work that 7 neurologists were not correct, either that or with the help of her daughter and son-in-law and all of the work that she had done, that she actually cured the ALS. Anyway, it's hard to say without laughing because all I know is that it's all energy. I still have slight mobility issues due to the structural damage and have wheelchairs that I use often whenever there is nerve impingement or spinal spurs. Advance ahead, 5 years after she moved into her house, her ex-husband's wife, the one that he left her for, is diagnosed with ALS. They moved to Arkansas to be closer to her daughter and are having a house built just a couple of miles away from where she lives now. She hadn't seen him in years and only saw the woman one time when she confronted her after he got caught. Not only did she have the woman that he was married to now have ALS, it was diagnosed by one of the same doctors who told her she had ALS. They moved into the exact same apartment and rented from that she had rented from and was using the exact same builder that she used to build her house. And they were building a house that would accommodate her wife's physical state. So she says,
What was the name of that book? Was that Why Is This Happening to Me Again?
Yeah, really. Said, so they moved to the same state. They lived in the same apartment. They went to the same doctor, was diagnosed with ALS also, and hired the same builder. She says, I can't make this up. She says, somehow they're following in my footsteps. His wife, however, became worse, and she passed away in March of this year. She says, my daughter went to Branson and brought her dad back here to her house. So now the lady that's writing us this lives just across a field from her daughter. So now the ex-husband is living just across the field from her. He can barely function from grief. He decided to come out to my car to greet me when I took food over after his wife died.
I got out of the car and gave him a hug and told him I was sorry for his loss. I gasped when I saw him because even though his tummy was now very large, I innately knew that he was severely malnourished. He lived with their daughter and started coming over every day on his walks. She just lived across the field. He came up and knocked on the door, and I invited him in. Shannon texted me since he was missing and wondered if I had seen him, and I told her he was sitting on my couch and was talking away. She said he never talked when he was over there. We were both shocked at his arrival. It became a daily thing for him to come over and share his grief. Looking back on those days, I lovingly refer to those when he was, and she gives a term, bat-ass crazy. He was in that stage for many months, and she would go back and tell their daughter, said, why is she so nice to me? The daughter asked her why she was so nice to him, knowing how I was treated by him and the enormous stress that they both went through when he left. My response was, he left me. I never left him. I love him, and I always will have love for him. I've been doing a great deal of inner work on forgiveness, and if I had never done that work for myself, I wouldn't be able to be the person that I am now because I know that I would be full of anger. I teach forgiveness, and in order to be able to teach it, I have to know and understand the tremendous power of forgiveness. If I teach it, then I need to forgive within myself. We all tried to figure out where he could live. I'm going to fast forward. He bought a trailer and moved it onto the property, and then it started having issues, and he had to send it back to the people that manufactured it. And so in the meantime, he's sleeping on her couch, and she's cooking meals for him and doing all this. He has a male friend now that he has breakfast with twice a week, and he's become fully functioning. Within a couple months, he also found a female friend that he takes out occasionally, but he says she's just a friend. Last Friday, she just wrote this week, so last Friday his trailer was taken to the shop for repairs, and it was in worse shape, so he actually asked them to take it back and to give him a refund. So then he came back to her house and broke down after realizing all the issues that he was having with everything in his life. She was able to sit next to him and support him and ask him if he would be willing to do still point breathing. So my ex-husband, who lacks willingness to do any of this work, sat on the couch two nights ago doing still point breathing. He felt much better later. He's decided at this point, he knows who I am. And let me go forward. We've suspected he has early stages of dementia. The beauty of it all is that because of the work that I learned, I have no expectations. I'm not attached to his decision. I always hold love, and I'll be here for him as we work on getting him fully functional again. He and I watched 12 videos of Regaining Your Brain, and he's learned that there's so much more that he needs to improve his brain. I know this is a long read, but it was an important story for me to tell because I want you to use the message of this story in a condensed version, of course, to share the power of love and forgiveness. I've always suspected that he, when all of the other happened when he left, was due to a head injury that he had had before. I know that the frontal cortex of the brain was damaged, and that's considered to be a traumatic brain injury, and the brain loses its ability to make rational decisions. I think his brain has been in trouble for many years. I'm going to be there to help him whether he lives here or not. So she has, after going through many years of drama and trauma about it, is now able to hold the space and help him to go through the process of healing. And so she wanted to share that with everyone.
Powerful. And an angry person listening to that will go, well, what kind of a fool is she? Why would she do that? Well, she functions as a human being. That's all. Remember, Yeshua, you know, he comes out of the Garden of Gethsemane where he's gone through his major healing crisis, which would look like, from a naturopathic point of view, would look like sweating blood, which we're told is what he did. And he stands in front of the high priest servant who's going to have him mercilessly slaughtered. Peter, the head henchman, has whacked off this guy's ear with a sword. Yeshua, in essence, I'm going to give you the long version of what Yeshua said to him. Peter, we're here to function as human beings, not to function out of hostility and fear. If you live by the sword, and it doesn't matter what your sword is, whether it's your tongue or your mind or a physical instrument in your hand or a gun, whatever it is, that's how you're going to die. Literally, through the law of resonance, that's what's going to draw you to your death. And so what she's doing is functioning as a human being. And that, I'd offer, is the primary purpose of life, to develop a viable, conscious, spiritual body, because that's where eternal life lives. And I don't know, Jeannie, if she asked you for feedback on that, but there's one piece in it that I would suggest feeding back to her, that is probably another piece in her healing process around this. And that way back when they split, there was this attachment to his decisions. And if we listen to her regulatory speech, and this is just for anyone who's listening, it's a lesson on regulatory speech. As she says, and I'm not attached to what he does or what her words were, what's firing in brain cells is there's still some attachment stuff there to work out. And so you might feed back to her that that's probably going to be an important piece of work for her to do, to clean up everything around that relationship in her mind. Yeah. So powerful. And, you know, life without tools is quite literally hell. In fact, there's a section in the front of the book. If you, again, don't have a copy of it, grab it on eBay or Amazon. I don't know how much they are right now, $3, $4, $5. It's cheap, or grab it on our website. It's free. And you can get it there in any one of 7 or 8 different languages. But here's a section right on Roman numeral 20, to the left of chapter 1, The Dilemma. Life without tools is sleep and hell. Information without tools is impotence. Power without tools is dictatorship. Relationship without tools is codependence. Knowledge without tools is dangerous. Commitment without tools is hopeless. Abundance without tools is loss. Health without tools is impossible. Learning without tools is chaos. Ambition without tools is corruption. A world without tools is war. Having tools and not using them is life without tools. And then the opposite, life with tools is awakening and delight. Information with tools is power. Power with tools is service. Relationship with tools is interdependence. Knowledge with tools is safety. Commitment with tools is a blessing. Abundance with tools is easy. Health with tools is natural. Learning with tools is education. Ambition with tools is accomplishment. A world with tools is peaceful. Having the tools and using them leads to aliveness. And so the purpose of our being here 5 days a week and carrying on this conversation for the last 10 years is to share these tools and these insights with you so that they become available to you in a practical, usable way. And the turnaround, when you realize that this multi-generational database called the Body Mind Unit is such a massive database, and one of the reasons why it seems so difficult to get out of the patterns is because the major attribute of this massive database, like anything else that is massive, is inertia. You know, a battleship, I don't even know what hundreds of ton battleship is sailing down the ocean, under steam at speed. And the first attribute of it is inertia. The captain doesn't say, okay, we're going to turn around, and bingo, you turn around and go the other way. it might take hours to slow that ship down and begin its turn. In the same way, this multi-generational database has as its major attribute inertia. If you remember from physics class in high school, inertia says that a body moving in a particular direction at a particular rate of speed will tend to continue moving in that direction at that rate of speed unless acted upon by an outside force. And so there's an internal mechanism that's moving in that direction. The thing that set your and my mechanism in motion was our power persons in terms of the traumatic aspects of life. The thing that set our life in motion was love. If the inertia has not yet been fueled by love, then hostility and fear seem to be the norm for the mind. And it's time for us to let it go. What does letting it go look like? It looks like forgiveness. That's the technology. That's how it's done. And we're down to about 6 minutes, maybe five. So we got time for a quick question. I mean, truly a quick question. If you're out there in listener land, push one. Let's talk about it. How can we support you? What's on your mind? Calling number is 563-999-3581.
Got a hand
and
up.
Miss Jeannie, if oh great, I'm glad that happened. Because I was just going to call
904. You're on the air.
Thank you very much. Well, aloha, Jeannie and Michael and everybody. Justin.
Aloha, young man. How are you?
I am doing well, and I'll make this very quick because I know we're a little out of time here. But that reading you did, Jeannie, it was worth every word. And it reminded me of something that I only knew a little bit. Well, I knew it, but I didn't get it completely until I heard you reading that. This woman that went through this amazing thing. My parents, et cetera, did not have the tools. That simple. And I am quite inspired by that. And kind of decided to let today be a day of forgiveness in whatever areas that I can find that I need to clean up, I'm going to. Thank you.
Well, you just affirmed, Dusty, that we fulfilled our purpose for today. So awesome. Thank you.
Well,
that's the whole idea behind everything we're doing. And I love how, you know, there are so many different ways to say it. You know, if you go back over the last 10 years, really, you know, we've never said anything different on the radio show for 10 years than what we said today. But it's got so many forms that it can open a mind. You know, it's like kind of the combination of the safe for one person's mind is different than another. And, you know, it depends on the brain cells that we have, how to open it. And so I don't know if you've downloaded the app yet. You know, if you go to your phone and your app store, Heartland Aramaic Forgiveness, or if you've used pen and paper of the worksheet, but, you know, forgiveness is nothing like anybody has ever taught us in this culture, period. It doesn't resemble anything we've ever been told about forgiveness. And so many people think they know what forgiveness. Oh, yeah, well, I'll just let them off the hook. If you haven't used the worksheet yet, please download it and put it to work. It's dramatic in its impact, and it is actual forgiveness. Nothing I have ever heard said about forgiveness in this culture, and I've looked at every form and fashion of it that I can. Before I finished my book, I went and sat for several days in I forget which bookstore it was, one of the big major bookstores, looking at everything that ministers and rabbis and psychologists had written about forgiveness. Nothing resembles anything we've ever been told. So if you haven't used the worksheet yet, please download it, put it to work, or download the app, and it'll shock you.
All righty then, yes. And thank you for that. And one quick thing, this floundering, the word floundering came to me, that the power of people in my life just floundered. They were like a ship at sea with no rudder.
Exactly. And how's that impacted your life?
I have to super love them even more now.
Yeah. Well, we'll join you in holding the space, my friend, and we're down to the last few seconds. So, everybody, create the best year yet of your eternal life. It's an awesome gift to give the world. Blessings. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with Dr. Michael Rice and myself, Jeannie Rice, and Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Pichet, as we present the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We are here for 2 hours every Monday through Friday from 12 noon to 2 o'clock Eastern Time on Mind Shifters Radio. For more information on Aramaic forgiveness, please visit www.whyagain.org. That's www.whyagain.org.